All right, Tim, we're back for another smashing Friday bonus. The shorty edition. How you doing?
Not doing too bad. We're about ready to travel to Las Vegas in a couple of days for Builder Show and KBIS. So,
yeah, we'll be ready, I'm sure. The Friday bonus, as people may know, maybe they don't, that we just talk about hodgepodge of things. Sometimes we have a guest on, sometimes it's work-related, but for the most part, it's just mindless things that we find or we talk about or something that's topical. But I got a couple things sent to me. I don't know why they were sent to me, by the way.
Yeah.
But when we were talking the other day, maybe we were recording a podcast the other day, I heard thunder in the background, Tim, at your house.
Yes.
And it's been unseasonably warm here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's been like in the 60s. And it's going to be colder again. But then I saw the forecast coming up in the next 10 days. It's going to get warmer again.
Yep.
So we got to start thinking about, you know, the spring and the, you know, the weather and the storms that we'll be getting. And I got this email about tornadoes, Tim. Tornadoes.
Wow.
And before we get into tornadoes, it's a recurring dream that I have about a tornado, and I'm about to be like engulfed by this tornado. And I have it more than one. I've had it more than once, and I looked it up. You know what the dream interpretation of a tornado is, Tim?
I do not.
It's like turmoil in my life. So anyway, I get this email about tornadoes, and The headline says 2024's most vulnerable counties for tornado damage.
Well, who's it coming from?
Well,
is it like weather.com? Is it the school district or?
It's a website called Roof Gnome, GNOME. So that's got to be, you know.
Somebody trying to sell you roof. Okay.
But anyway, it says the 2024's most vulnerable counties, and you'd be surprised at the answers. But the way the criteria for this is, so they break it down into three things: incidence risk, financial risk, and exacerbating factors. So the exacerbating factors are the average age of the homes, a share of mobile homes, and the state adoption of international residential and building codes. And then the financial risk is total expected annual loss from tornadoes.
I thought you were going to tell me it was going to be like a shit, oh shit, or yeah. Oh shit. Those are the three categories.
Okay, Tim. So I know you like being put on the spot, but you you would never guess this in a million years. What they rank is the number one most vulnerable county.
Are we talking counties in Illinois?
In the U.S.
I'm going to go with somewhere in the middle of Oklahoma.
That's what I thought. Or Kansas, Oklahoma.
Having lived in both those states, both Kansas and Oklahoma. Neither?
I don't know if I'm being punked or this is a joke. Cook County, Illinois, Tim.
Yeah, that doesn't. I worked in Cook County when I worked downtown.
Yeah.
Don't recall having tornadoes in downtown Chicago. I know we had them Plainfield got hit by that big tornado, 7-8 years ago, maybe even longer ago than that. We had one up in Buffalo Grove, not too far from Buffalo Grove when I lived in Buffalo Grove. But I think of tornadoes and I think of where I live now in central Illinois or up by where you live, up along the, you know, the Illinois River up in Rockford, Oklahoma, be in some of those areas up in there where they always have tornadoes.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned because Sycamore, where I live, I've been told this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but Sycamore lies in a valley. So whenever there's an approaching tornado, it either gets to the surrounding area.
It hurts it.
It either splits or it just stalls and it just dissipates.
Could be a distinct possibility. I live in a very very flat area. You know where I mean, Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, it's pretty flat around here. And we do get tornadoes. We typically get at least two or three in our area every summer.
Okay. So I'm looking at the list, and DeKalb County, where I live in Sycamore, 232nd ranked
on the list. Really? What's, yeah. So I live in Champaign County. What's Champaign County? Because I'm guessing Macon County, Cumberland, Chamberlain, Champaign. I'm trying to think of some of the counties around Montgomery. Some of the counties around here that, you know, Vermilion.
Yeah, you would think the more open land and the more.
I've probably told you this before. I've chased tornadoes. When I was in college at Kansas State University, or even
here. I did not know that, Tim. You never told me that.
Even here. Just 4 or 5 years ago, one of my buddy who's a deputy sheriff in town, him and I got in a car, was chasing a tornado for about 30 minutes, just trying to see where it would land.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We were far from, it was a good mile and a half, 2 miles from us, but we were horizontal with it, just chasing it.
Okay. Champaign County, 66.
Okay. Cook County, number one. That blows my mind. I mean, my guess is there's a mitigation here that just the sheer number of buildings and the kind of damage that could be occur from a tornado that were to hit Cook County, that makes sense. But still, I don't recall ever seeing a tornado in the 10 plus years I worked downtown Chicago.
So it says total expected annual loss from tornadoes in Cook County is $304 million.
Well, it sounds like you just don't want a tornado to hit anywhere in Cook County because the damage could be catastrophic.
Average age of homes, 59.7 years. I mean, I've lived in Illinois a long time and never really heard a lot of tornadoes ripping through.
Have you ever seen a tornado, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim, I see them in my dreams every night.
I mean, in a real tornado.
When I was a kid, yeah, we did. I can't remember where we were driving from, but there was a tornado we had to pull off in somebody's farm area.
Yeah, having lived in Kansas and when I was in the military and for a short period of time lived in Oklahoma, saw probably 10 or 12 in my years in Kansas, but one in Oklahoma. So I've seen 15, 20 in my life. Small to big. I mean, a lot of times they're just small. Little. You'll see them in the fields.
Like a very, very lame transition to the next topic.
Uh-oh.
When you have a tornado or big storms, right?
Yeah.
What usually happens? Your power goes out, right?
Yeah.
So my next topic, I got an email that says states expecting the highest household electricity bills in 2024.
Okay.
This study is conducted by electricity experts Texas Electricity Ratings. By comparing consumer costs between November 22 and 23, an annual increase was calculated for each state, determining a total bill for each household.
Okay.
What do you think the number one state for an annual electricity bill will be?
Well, my first thought is you want to go to a state like California or Texas or Arizona where there's a high usage of electricity. So I'm going to go with California.
California's seventh.
Okay.
Number one on the list is Hawaii.
Oh, that makes sense.
But here's what it says about Hawaii. It says, despite consuming 24.5% less electricity than national average, it bared the highest cost per kilowatt hour nationwide last year at 43.53 cents. It says, with expenses 2.6 times higher than the national average, residents in Hawaii are expected to pay $287.54 per month at their current consumption rates.
And that would be probably about 2.5-3 times more than I spend a month on mine.
So the annual bill in Hawaii is $3,450.55.
Okay. That's pricey.
Where's Illinois, you ask?
I'm guessing somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Unbelievably, and I'm still shocked at this, it's fifth lowest on the list, $1,227.15.
I do not have a huge electric bill every month. I'm a little shocked, but I'm not completely shocked, if that makes sense.
All right, Tim, what's number one lowest ranked
You mean number 50 of the 50 states?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Montana.
Ooh, Montana's fourth, Tim. Number one or the lowest or the 50th ranked state in, or, you know, cheapest electricity bill, according to this report, is Utah, Tim.
Where's Alaska?
It's 19th.
Okay. What's the most expensive other than Hawaii? What's below, like, what's number two?
Maine.
Really?
Huh. Florida, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maryland, California, Arizona, Nevada, and Alabama.
Alabama! Yeah, that sticks out. I can see the Northeast, and I can see the Southwest. Alabama sticking out like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Where's Texas, since they own their own grid? I'm curious where Texas is.
Tejas is 18th.
Okay. Kind of in the middle.
Yeah. So just two, you know, fun little facts that I thought I'd share with you.
So now that we've talked about the cost of electricity, and we've talked about not having it if the tornado wipes out the electricity, are you ready to get a generator?
I could see doing that, yeah.
Cynthia and I have talked about this a lot in the last 6 to 8 months. I don't know why, but we have. It's been like, should we get a generator? Because we don't live in the city. Mm-hmm. Kind of live on the outskirts of city, and farm fields are in my backyard. Not that I'm worried about we're on city electricity, but still, like, I wouldn't mind having a generator just in case.
The only thing in our neighborhood, the power rarely goes out. All the lines are underground.
Ours are not.
And if something goes out, it's a transformer blows or something on the corner. And they're usually pretty good at getting out there in a day or, you know, you're not without power with here within, you know, a few hours or the most a day.
We've been without for about a day and a half here. That's the longest we've had. And it was during winter and it was cold, but we managed.
Yeah. I could see that if, you know, it's winter time or, you know, if it's more than 2 days, your food in your fridge and you're in the summertime, if, you know, that would be something that to think about having a.
I worry more about the summertime outages with the storms than I do winter.
It's a good idea. It's just something that here it doesn't happen that often to
justify the cost.
Yeah. At this point. Yeah.
Well, we'll be at Builder Show next week. We'll have an opportunity to look at generators and see if there's anything that jumps out at us, and kind of looking forward to it.
Hey, real quick, we're talking about, generators and electricity and stuff, and I'm thinking about water. The water quality in Sycamore is not good. And
that surprises me.
Sometimes you put on the water and just brown water comes out. I mean, it's almost like Flint. I don't really want to joke about that.
We've got really good water here, which is kind of nice.
But did you ever watch the end of that True Detective Night Country?
I did.
You did?
I did.
So remember I said the water had something to do with it? It kind of did, right?
Kind of.
The water was, they were hiding the numbers and they were.
It didn't quite get as spiritual as I thought it might get with the whole Native American or, you know, the Hawaii, Alaskan kind of native kind of where I thought it was going. It was okay. It was a decent year, but still doesn't beat the first season.
No, but at the end, I wasn't too sure if Navarro was an actual person or a spirit or a ghost or something.
I'm going with the spirit.
Yeah. So we just gave it away for those who haven't watched it. But anyway.
It wasn't a bad season, but it was, you know, only, what, 6 episodes? So it wasn't too bad.
No, it was interesting to see that way of life and the Native American way of life and all that. But, you know, Monica and I looked at each other and said, I don't think we're going to be moving there anytime soon.
I'm actually, it's funny because I've got, and I've mentioned my buddy Shay, who I've, you kind of know, don't know him, but you know who he is. Him and his wife moved up to Alaska a year and a half ago, and Shay's a builder up there. So I'm actually seeing him this evening. Him and his wife are in, him and Heather are in town. So Cynthia and I are going to go out to dinner with them tonight.
Wait a minute. So, that guy, he lives in Alaska now?
Yeah, he lives in Alaska now. Dang. So he's, so I'm anxious to talk to him and see kind of, you know, I mean, we text back and forth and stuff, but it's been a while. It's been about 6-8 months since I've seen Shay and Heather. So we're going out to dinner tonight. And
why did he move up there? Because he just saw.
So his father owns a building contracting business up there. Okay. And they got so busy that he was a teacher here in town. And his dad was like, hey, I need you. So,
they moved where up about? Like they're Fairbanks?
They're outside of Juneau.
Juneau.
Yeah.
I guess, is that booming up there? Like,
Yeah, he said they're busier than hell. They can't build fast enough. And it's all residential. He's building nothing but residential.
The Night Country had, you know, I don't know, it was like a couple week span where the it's just dark. It's
it is. It's like, oh gosh, you don't see light for days and days and weeks, and not quite sure I could handle that.
Yeah.
I guess you get used to it.
All right, Tim.
Well, enjoy the weekend. I will see you on Monday in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The
irony about Vegas is it's going to be warmer in Illinois than I think in Vegas.
It's supposed to be 70 here next weekend. And I think the high while we're in Vegas is like 68. Although
I'm not complaining about it.
Nor am I.
Yeah. It's just funny that you go somewhere you think, and you know, Vegas is a desert. So at night it gets very cold.
It does get chilly.
Yeah. So.
You know what the weekend, so we get there on Monday, the following weekend, you know what the following weekend is in Vegas?
Yeah, the race, Tim.
The NASCAR race. Want to stick around for it?
I don't know. Now that I'm in the NASCAR pool, I might.
Yeah, you almost won it this week. I'm 1 point shy.
I am shocked because I have no idea who's the winner of Daytona 500 was William Byron. And I thought he was like a writer or what was Lord Byron.
William Byron drives 24. He drives the car that Jeff drove, Jeff Gordon. You know who he is.
All right.
So, nope, I'll see you in Vegas. We've got a busy week next week. Looking forward to seeing hopefully some really cool product. At the end of the day, it's the show that we go to, and I send a lot of pictures home to my wife going, I want this Viking range. I want this Wolf freezer. I want this, and this. And of course.
And it's also a show where you see these
HGTV celebrities.
Yeah. You see like Rob Van Winkle, Tim.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. I've seen Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. I've seen
all the HGTV stars are here.
I've seen Dan Hampton. I mean, you see a lot of these stars that these people hire to be in their booth or whatever. Oh, yeah. And you know, who is the guy that from Tool Time or whatever? You Richard
Karn.
Yeah. He'll probably be down there. So
yeah, it's a who's who of celebrity home builders and stuff like that. If you see them on HGTV, the Property Brothers, you know, all those celebrities are at the show.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane. It's the energy for everyone.